are back for another episode of The Last Storm. We're pumped up that you decided to join us again. We're here to talk about something near and dear to our hearts. Dave, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about none other than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, baby.
SGA. And why we believe I'm going to say we. We'll see. We believe Shai is the MVP this season, right now, full stop, baby.
You know, I like the enthusiasm, the boldness of the statement, and here is the thing. I agree with you, and this is why I have to agree with you, is the place that we are sitting right now is the sweet spot. Yes, we're sitting right outside that play-in spot, but we're also only a game and a half outside of that sixth seed, and that is why we have to circle it and say this is a legitimate conversation we're having, and why Shai, in my opinion, has proven that he deserves at least a top three nod right now for MVP voting.
Right, and we've seen him move up to, like, I think number 9 in the NBA.
Oh, is he in number 9?
NBA.com standing, something like that. He's moved up a bit. But here's what my basic premise of this whole thing is, that if the team clears the play-in game and they get into the top 6, he's the only legit candidate for MVP. I'm serious. Like, this argument that it's Jokic, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. There's no way that Jokic deserves the MVP over SGA if SGA can bootstrap this team into the top 6.
All right. So what's your basis on that then? Well, top 6. Like, who's recently has gotten a top in the top 6 or number 6, number 5, whatever, that's gotten the MVP?
Right. Jokic, right? He got one last year and they were the 6th seed, right? And you can make an argument that, like, okay, people who are the 6th seed don't deserve MVPs. Fine.
Sure.
So then this year, the only person, you'd be like, well, Jokic is their first. So you can't, like, people want it both ways. They want to say, you can't give it to a 6th seed, but we gave it to him, but we're going to give it to him as a number 1 seed because we only want to give it to number 1 seeds. Like, if SGA can get this team to the 6th seed, that's the same spot that Jokic had it. And that's a step backwards where they were the 3rd seed the year before. Whereas for us, it would be like exceeding everybody's expectations. So yeah, should it be given to him if we're the 7th seed? Probably. But for damn sure, it should be given to him if we can jump the play-in game and we're straight into the playoffs. They gave it to Jokic for the same thing. Don't come at me with Jokic or Embiid or any of these people when they are underperforming.
Let me ask you about this. This is something that I've watched and I really appreciate most about his game. And he's having a phenomenal season right now, so we can't just discount it right there. But big baby Luka, what do you think about him? Like, he's having a great season right now. So, like, is it something that – and look at how the fans are reacting to him. Like, do you think that Shai's season is so much more spectacular than even Luka's right now that it should be without thinking Shai?
I think Luka deserves to win MVPs in his career, but at some level he has to perform in a way that it exceeds expectations and not just in the individual statistical categories. Like, that's where my argument with SGA, it hits on both ends, right? He's going to exceed what people expect on the stats and the team's wins. Like, you can't have only one of those and call that player an MVP, because it's kind of like that year that defensive player of the year was given to Marc Gasol because the whole defense on the team was better, right? Okay, you can give it to that one guy, but in the end, that's not the way it should work. And I understand, like, okay, this year Jokic is number one, but you've given him two MVPs previous years and he wasn't number one. Like, let's just give up on that idea that it just goes to whoever has the best record. Because if that is the criteria, then we ignored it over the previous years and gave it to Jokic. So he needs to be eliminated from the conversation. Jokic is out of it to me. He'd have to set up an incredible season that requires things that he's not doing out there right now. He's just playing good Jokic basketball. He's not playing historically great. When you compare him and you say, like, Kobe won one MVP and Jokic has won two, get the fuck out of here. We shouldn't just keep giving him to him because he's playing a little bit better than the year he did previously. Like, he needs to start blowing his previous stuff out of the water. And not just his team doing that. What's happened this year shows how much of a joke last year was.
It's the Russ effect. It's Russ averaged a triple-double one year, got the MVP, averaged a triple-double the next year, and didn't even end up.
You didn't get it. Right. And
so my thing with this is that if those guys are out, okay, and I'm nodding on this one, I'm saying I agree. I'm not a big fan of Big Baby Luka. Just not, all right? But going over on the East, somebody that I'm a very big fan of is Jason Tatum. And he is doing an incredible job right now in that East. Do you think that he could be a threat to that MVP for Shea?
Okay, so if you lead your team to the conference finals, okay, the only way you win an MVP, in my opinion, is if you end up going on to win the championship, okay, or you have a season that so far exceeds what you've done in the previous years. You can't just be incrementally better. And at this point, for where Jason Tatum is because of how good his team is, an MVP award should be a reward for his team winning a championship. And I know that those things don't come automatically, but their team needs to look like, by far, the favorite. And if they don't win the championship, then it's a disappointment. And I don't see that with the Celtics. They have the best team in the league right now and on so many levels if they can all click. All right, and they've been clicking, so good for them. But my question is, will they click in the playoffs? And that's the only thing that the Celtics are, the only standard that they're going to be judged by this season. It's not going to be like, oh, yeah, they had 60 wins this season. That was a really great team. They lost in the first round. Like, nobody's going to respect them if they're not winning in the playoffs.
Well, I will say this is I do think that in order for Shea to get that MVP, he has to figure out a way this second half, to get his three-point shot up to about 40%. All right? And, like, listen, that's about the only thing that I would circle that would say that needs slight improvement. Everything else he's doing, he just needs to carry the fuck on. Damn it. I was trying to go this entire podcast without saying fuck.
No, so we shouldn't. It's a bad idea.
My bad, guys. My bad. I wanted to try it to see if I can make it.
We shouldn't try anything. We got to just be real, man. Whatever. However we talk.
So it's that right there. And I'm seeing one of the issues that I had with Shea early in the season was getting to that free throw line. I wanted to see more of a consistent free throw presence from him. And a lot of it was he wasn't getting respect from the refs. Now we're seeing him get respect from the refs. And he's getting to that free throw line, you know, consistently. I like this. You know what I'm saying? The respect he's getting typically is great from the refs. He's getting to that free throw line, shooting 90%. He's averaging 5.5 assists, averaging 5 rebounds, averaging almost 2 steals a game. Like, he has the stats that are eye-popping. Like, these are the type of stats that you look at. Right?
It's all about the team.
But in order to get your team to that level, right, in order for Shea to get his team to a top 6, there has to be a couple extra things. And I think that's what I see with Shea, is that in order for that to happen, he has to get more output from our bench, which needs to get healthy. And that's where that comes at. And
I'm going to disagree. And I think, because here's what we need, dude. We need games that are officiated in a balanced way. That's it. If we had balance against Miami, balance against Sacramento, if we're like, this is a shout out to one of our YouTube listeners. Like, he's the one who drew the attention. The last two games that we've lost, we've been completely demolished from behind the arc. Shea's getting fouled. They're not calling it. Look, I'm not saying that we're playing perfect defense and we're getting hacked. The refs have certain rules that other teams are abiding by at a higher level than us, as far as like hand checking and things like that. They're getting the whistles because they're following the letter of the law better. But if we can balance that out, bro, we're talking legitimately about a 6-game win streak going into playing against Denver. We're going to beat Denver tonight, bro.
You know, I got to say is I hope our organization has this, right? And if we don't, our organization needs to get on top of it. But I heard Pat Riley talk one time about him having scouts for the refs. They knew exactly what the refs were calling at any given time, what they were strict on calling at any given time, and they would prep for that. And to me, I feel like there needs to be this understanding of these refs aren't going to change their calls because you're arguing your point better. They're going to consistently call what they're calling, period. And yes, there needs to be consistent calling across the board, but I think other teams are doing a better job at recognizing what calls you're going to get if they do this, and recognizing if they go to the basket hard, they're not going to get those calls that typical refs get. Like, these are the things that I'm going back and I'm starting to understand. Like, I love it. I love hearing that there's ways to get around these refs, and it's simple. You have to know your enemy.
Yeah, I mean,
and right now, the zebras are our fucking enemy.
They're killing us, man. And
they're killing
us,
man.
We have to earn respect from the officials. I like that we're not complaining. That's one step. Learning is another step. Not, you know, giving them shit in the media. That's important too. But where we're at,
but dude,
as we figure
that
out.
How Shea demands that respect, though. He says what he wants to them, right? When there's been a timeout. He doesn't stop the game. He doesn't draw attention after a made basket. He goes to them, says his point, walks away to the bench. It's over. That's a fucking man. Like, that's what every coach wants. They don't want somebody whining and complaining and bitching about every fucking call out there. Nobody wants that. What I want to see with Shea, more than anything, is that leadership style to continue. Like, he gets those guys in line. If one of them steps out and starts talking, he tries to step in and gets them up the court. He's a leader. And it's the more of the leadership that I've seen this year that has impressed me. The constant leadership. The constant, hey, do this, hey, do this, hey, do this. Like, the way that he handles Josh Giddey, the way that he handles Dort, and recognizing that everybody has different personalities and each one of them you treat a little bit different. And guess what? He's doing an amazing job at maneuvering there. And why I think that he's taken that step to not just an all-star, but first team all NBA and what I would consider MVP level is because he is not just out there by himself running around like Allen Iverson or Carmelo Anthony at old Carmelo Anthony, right? You know what I'm saying? Or like Ja Morant, or these guys are taking all these shots. They're demanding the ball. He's out there passing the ball up, doing hockey assists, getting offensive rebounds, getting charges, you know, like working hard on defense. Like, he's doing everything out there. And it's like, okay, this young man isn't just ready to play basketball. And when we think about what it takes to be able to win the MVP and how many guys have won the MVP under 25, right? That list is incredibly small. And I go back to thinking about Derrick Rose and what he did with the Bulls that year that he won MVP, man, and how he dominated. And you take what he did that year and you compare it to what Shea's doing this year, and it's remarkably. I mean, it's different, but it's remarkably the same when you're talking about how Derrick Rose got to the lane every single time, you know, and how he finished like he did and the way he finished and all this other stuff. And I can't help but wonder – if you're right here, if everybody is saying Shea's number 9 right now, but if he does this better, if he does this better, and he kicks up here, then he's going to be at top 3. And listen, if Shea gets to the top 3, it's because we're winning a ton of games. It's because the whole team is behind Shea because of his leadership style. And that's what's the most impressive thing to me is the biggest step he's taken is how he leads this team right now. And that's why I believe he deserves the MVP is because it's the same thing as Coach of the Year. You know, like, do you want somebody just throwing up a bunch of stats or whatever and doing some crazy stuff? Or do you want somebody that's leading a team, being a true MVP on all aspects of it? And that's what that's what Joka did last year. That was so impressive. You know, like, that's what Shea's doing this year.
I mean, but if bringing him up again, it's like, well, what if we took three, you know, a step backwards in three places in our conference and then expected something like an MVP? Like, this award is for people who are playing exceptionally well. And I understand there are circumstances like missing players that can say, okay, now more responsibilities put on that player. And so they stepped up at a higher level, even though the team didn't play as well. But at the same time, like, we have a legit chance to double up our projected record, win record. And if you do that, you throw your team into the sixth place and you're looking around and you say, like, where would this team be without that player? And you're like, probably less than 20 wins. Like, I don't know what else you want. At some point, you have to say, this guy is playing MVP basketball now. I've heard a lot of people recently say he's a future MVP potentially. Someday he could be. He is now. The only reason that people don't want to give it to him is because they look at that record in the West and they say, okay, he's the 10th or 11th spot right now. It's, you know, all these teams in between. But I'm like, look at the teams around him and look at how far they are from being at number six. It's so close if they just get on a winning streak. And we look at, like, Sacramento. That was a tough game. They were on a roll. Tonight, the Nuggets, they're going to be tough. They're on a roll. Like, these are the two best teams in the West right now as far as winning streaks go. We hit boom, boom. Okay?
Yep.
It's tough. But at the same time, we're playing our best basketball. We had the same thing
with the Nets, the Celtics. They're all on great winning streaks.
Right. So we're playing, in my opinion, even though we don't have the best record over the last 10 games, we're playing the best basketball in the league right now. And if we could just get a few calls, our record would demonstrate that. And we are going to get some because we're doing the right things. And these things shift. And as they shift, it goes for the people who are doing the right things. So we'll be fine. We'll find ourselves moving up in the rankings. And then we're going to look at it and we're going to say, if we as Thunder fans can't stand up and say Shea deserves this year, then nobody else is going to. And we have to start making it. We have to start chanting MVP louder. We have to let people know this is serious to us. Shea's the MVP. He's the MVP right now. And if we can't say it, then who the fuck can?
Man, we have an incredibly high, loyal group of people that listened to our last storm. And we want you guys to scream it most loudest of all, because the louder we get, the more effort that we put out there, the more people will see it. And if we're out there saying Shea for MVP and we get 10,000 likes and people are watching this other stuff, like, people are going to start taking this for note. Like, I don't care if we get 100 views on this particular podcast. If we just have 20 people that go out there and speak the truth about Shea, that's all I want.
Hey, Jesus only needed 12 disciples, Shea, baby.
Okay, all right. We want 24 then.
Twice as good as
we want 24 of you guys going out there screaming from the rooftop how much you love Shea and why he is MVP. I mean, pick any of the stats that you want. His block shots, his steals. I mean, whatever you want, pick them. All right? Start screaming it. And we'll make sure to make sure that you guys are heard as well, because we want you guys to recognize all the things that have been happening with us. And we say this a lot recently. We've been on YouTube and all the positive comments and feedback, and it means a lot, man. And there was a guy that just recently, he wrote a review or a comment. ACCEMBLY, assembly, whatever. I'm not really somebody that likes to read, so I don't really know what the fuck his name is. But, bro, I love you, man. All right? You're amazing. And you didn't think we were going to respond to you, or you questioned the response that would have or whatever. Listen, I really, really applaud what you were saying with this, is adding somebody on the bench that would create the type of drive that it would take for this. It was great. And if you guys want to go take a look at what his comment was, I would highly recommend doing it, because in my opinion, it's not necessarily about trading one of our assets or something like that. It's about letting Sam Presti work his magic and adding a piece to the puzzle. And yes, sometimes that's going to be somebody like Mike Muscala that wasn't raised in this organization, or it's going to be somebody like, you know, Kenny Hustle, that was an undrafted player and on a different team, or it's going to be Dort by an undrafted player. So to me, like, this is how Sam Presti puts teams together. So if there's an opportunity for us to get one of the three players that he mentioned, I would be all for it, but not, you know, not for giving up any of our future assets or picks, because to me, like, that's where our bee's knees is of the future, is keeping our picks close, is because when we're ready to build, and we have to continue building when we lose players to injury, when we lose players to leaving because they get paid higher, lose players to trades, we have to be able to rebuild by the draft. And that's what Sam Presti has taught us over the last couple of years, is you don't need a ton of draft picks to be able to rebuild a team very quickly.
Absolutely, man. And we want to take more time and spend more time commenting on your comments and answering your questions and letting you guys have a chance to just be heard. So what we're going to do going forward is we want to start doing a pregame hangout live on YouTube.
Yes. I love it, bro.
We'll get you guys more information as we go. But we're hoping that's something that you guys
are interested in. We want to hear about what you guys think.
Right. Right. Definitely. It'd be definitely more geared toward less of us talking. How's that sound? And more of us hearing what you have to say and putting what you
have
to say.
The questions that you have about this team, about a game, about an injury, anything like that, that we're not covering on these podcasts because we're taking 20 minutes, 25 minutes to these podcasts. We're leaving a lot of doors open, and we want you guys to be able to direct the traffic on this pregame hangout. And yeah, we just appreciate you guys. We want to be able to interact with you guys as much as we possibly can. And I feel like this would be a fun way of doing that. And it's not something that, you know, obviously for 30 something games, that everybody's going to be able to do. But you know, we're hoping like our buddy Chencho and our brother John and people like that, that we love to be able to interact with, on a daily basis, that you guys will be able to join us on these, because this will be a lot of fun.
And we just want to, let you know that we really appreciate all the comments, like hundreds of comments over the last, you know, couple of weeks. And we take the time to read them all and respond to as many as we can. And we just want you guys to know that's why we were thinking about doing these pregame hangouts, is because there's so much more to talk about that we're not getting to. And we'd like to make that like the really important part of that. So we hope that you'll join us. Stay tuned for more information. We'd like to start coming up at the very next game, and we'll be in touch with that. So thanks for joining us, everybody. We will see you soon.
MVP. 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 Get it, baby. MVP. Start it right now.
Let's do it.